Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. And good evening to those who are watching us on the social media. You are welcome to today's Bible study as we continue on the theme, Looking Unto Jesus. Looking Unto Jesus. And I would like to start us off with the passage that all the ministers have been using since the beginning of the month, and that is from the book of Hebrews, as we turn to chapter 12, and I'll read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One thing I'd like to quickly point out here is that I remember when Pastor Bayo started this last week, and he talked about the great cloud of witness, and that those were the heroes of faith that Paul was talking about in chapter 11 before chapter 1 of 12, therefore. And it made me to understand better that that was what Paul was talking about. So I went to, since I knew I was going to handle this topic, I researched again that is that what everybody that is writing commentaries on the Bible thinks too? That the great crowd of witnesses are, you know, those heroes of faith. I would say that until recently, I would say the great cloud of witnesses watching you are everybody, people around you. But interestingly, I didn't get any Bible study material that confirmed what I had in mind all along. It was all in the line of what Pastor Bayo was saying. So I can imagine if you hadn't come to Bible study, so many things that we thought we knew would just be missing. So I thank you for coming to Bible study today. I hope and I pray that maybe something will come anew to you. Even if something doesn't come anew to you, I pray that the words we'll be sharing will renew your mind, something you had heard before, and you have a new revelation that you can run with in the name of Jesus. There are three actions Paul advises us to take in this passage. Three actions. One is to lay aside. That's an action word, to lay aside. The second is to run. Run the race. And the third is to look unto Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Put your attention on Jesus. Those are the three activities, tasks that Paul is advising us to take here. And the thing is, all of them are important. Are they not? All of them are important. But one is the driving force. The driving force. And that is running the race that is set before us. That's the driving force. Before you can run it, you have to lay aside. And then for you to run it well, you have to look unto Jesus. Running the race. Just like Pastor Bayo said the other time too, that it is a long distance race, not a 100 meter dash. So since you have many years to live, it is a race you don't want to spend many years running. and end up losing out by not making heaven at last. You don't want to run in vain. That race, so we must finish it and finish well in Jesus' name. There is this saying that if you want to go fast, what are you supposed to do? Go alone. And it makes some sense, true. If you want to go to Dubai now, you have to get to Dubai quickly. What do? You get up and keep going. Quickly get there. If you make a mistake and say, brother, come, let's go to Dubai. I need to get to Dubai. You can't get as fast. Because on the way, what's going to be happening? You're going to be chatting and fellowshipping and gisting. You won't get there as fast. But that proverb says, however, if you want to go far, you go together with somebody. You have a companion. Imagine having to walk all the way to Ife, and you want to go alone. You get weary. But you have a gist mate, just like somebody like this. Cha, 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 gist, gist, gist. You won't get weary. You'll be encouraged. So in this long distance race we are running, who best can be our companion? Who best can be our guide? Who best can be our encourager other than Jesus Christ? For one, he has run the race himself. And he got victory. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So it's not that the best person you can run with, that surely is. So as you look unto Jesus and walk with him, you get to learn from him how he ran the race to win. So Jesus becomes our role model. The Message version of Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. The Message version says, study how he did it. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, that is, your faith is getting weaker. Go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. So he says we need to study how Jesus did it. How did he do it? And we can do this by going over and over his experiences, his stories, so that we'll be encouraged that we too can make it well. We can make it. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 22 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Verse 22 says, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Jesus was without sin. Jesus was without weights. But many of us have weights and the sin that easily entangles us. You know, when Paul was saying this, you know, one of the things I was thinking about is like, he said weights and the sin. I would have thought maybe he would have said weights and sins, But it says weights and the sin, something that easily entangles us. Easily. The weights and sin that we easily give into. Some things that are not God-pleasing that you have the tendency to do. Last week, during the Bible study, some mentions were made concerning weights and sins. People were talking about what weight is, what sin is, and examples and all that. And I captured a few things from there. In terms of weights and sins, I had people say something is a burden, doubts, they all fall between weight and sin. Issues that are pertaining to you, because those are things that distract you from looking unto God, from focusing on Jesus. Issues, worries, unforgiveness, fear, lying, stealing, envy. Those were things that were mentioned on last Tuesday. Then I looked at Galatians 5:19-21. And Paul gave us a list of sins here. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So there are so many things that are weights and sins. It says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the first thing really is to acknowledge our weaknesses to ourselves. If you want to do anything at all, assess yourself. Understand your weaknesses. This is what I'm doing that is not pleasing God. You need to come to that realization yourself. And then appreciate that these are the things slowing you down in the race. They are slowing you down. If you don't appreciate that, then how would you know what you want to lay down or lay by the side? So appreciate it, that those things are slowing you down. So Apostle Paul said, then lay them aside. You have to lay aside weights and sins that easily entangles us. Lay aside. If you think about it, lay aside. How do you lay aside something? Maybe you carry something, and you put it down and put it at the side, right? That's fair enough definition, right? Remove it and put it down. As I was thinking about what Paul said here about weights, sin, and the one that is really somehow is it easily entangles. You know, something that with ease, it gets you locked up and all that. So it's a serious matter. Something serious. And I said that if to lay aside is the right expression for ways and sin, I think Paul is just being gentle and kind and nice. Lay aside. You know, but we're talking of vices that easily entangles us. I will use the word yanking out. You know, it's more like yanking it out, pulling it out, cutting it out, and aggressive action, because these are serious matters for all of us. Something you'll have to remove from you and put away by force. Stubborn issues. Recurring problems, they require aggressive action. to get them out of your life to enable you run the race that is set before you. It will make you light. So whatsoever is slowing you down, you need to have a strong determination that it will not hold you down. It is slowing you down, but no, it will not hold me down. That strong determination is the primary thing you need to have. Determination. And then what do you do next? You take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Once in a while, that song comes to my mind, and I just read the lyrics, and I get encouraged. So I want us to post it if it's available. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We won't sing it, but we'll go through the lyrics. Do we have it? Okay, anyway, I'll read it. It says, and as I'm reading it, please just put your mind into it. Forget about the song. Just think deeply about the words in there. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So you are carrying weight. Meanwhile, you can just reach out to God in prayer. It says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. It says, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do your friends despise, forsake you? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Say, blessed Savior, thou hast promised thou wilt all our burdens bear. You bear all your burdens. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to thee in earnest prayer. Say, soon, in glory bright, unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Soon, there is no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. So this is the opportunity we have to pray on earth, because thereafter, no more prayers. It's just worshiping God and praising God. So whatsoever it is that is burdening you, whatever weight it is, whatever sin it is, it's not beyond the attention of God. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Praise the Lord. Matthew 17, 20, 21 says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, he was talking to his disciples when they couldn't heal an epileptic boy, you know? So he said, some things do not go except by adding fasting to your prayers. Some things, some challenges, some weights, some sins, they don't get yanked off easily until you have added fasting to your prayers. So, add fasting. Well, you're going through something that is recurrent, add fasting to it, and you'll see what God will do for you. As you fix your eyes on Jesus, you appreciate the characters of Jesus you need to copy. You appreciate his characters and what made him to win while running through the race. Number one, he did not give attention into temptation. He did not give in. He did not give in. He did not succumb to temptation. And that is very serious. Like I said, these are things. Jesus is our role model. And we want to see how he went through these things so that we too can make it. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Yet without sin. When Satan came tempting Jesus in the book of Luke 4, Jesus overcame temptation because his mind was set on pleasing God. Mind set on pleasing God. He had victory over temptation by speaking to the situation, speaking to the tempter. He declared that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. He declared it to hit the enemy. He declared it to send off the enemy. But really, when he said that, if you think about it, yes, he's supposed to send off the enemy like a weapon, right? But if you think about it, he was reminding himself too. Man shall not live by bread alone. Because you are speaking to yourself when you declare something. But by the word of God, every word of God. When you declare it, apart from using it as a weapon against the enemy, you also use it to remind yourself so that you can be stronger, not to succumb to the temptation. We should do like Jesus did. Speak the word when facing temptation. Speak the word when you are way down. And that will keep the trouble away till another time, an opportune time. Now, the race is not only about sinning and not sinning. It's not only about carrying weight or laying weight aside. But Paul said we should first of all tackle this to enable us run. This means that there is still more to do on this race path. There's still more to do. So when you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will see how he ran the race. Then we'll be able to think like him and act like him. So number two, prayer. Jesus was always communicating with the Father. Always communicating with the Father. The Bible says in Luke 6:12 that now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Mark 1:35 says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Jesus made time to have personal audience with the Father in isolation. No one around. No interruptions. Early in the morning, late at night. And with the frequency of his prayers and the timing of his prayers, if you think about it, Jesus could not have been praying for himself alone. Don't pray for yourself alone for how many hours? Jesus must have been praying for many other people. So the lesson for us is, as we spend time praying, let it not be for our families only or for ourselves only. In John 17, for instance, Jesus prayed for those I believe he usually prayed for. John 17. In verse 1, we're not going to read it. He prayed for himself. So of course, you have to pray for yourself. In verses 6 to 19, he prayed for his disciples. In verses 20 to 25, he prayed for all believers. I'll read verses 20 to 21 here to you. It says, I do not pray for this alone, referring to his disciples, that, Lord, I'm not praying for my disciples alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who are those? People like us. We believe in Jesus Christ through the words that the disciples propagated around the world. So Jesus prayed for us, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. My point here, like I said earlier on, one is when we are praying, let it not be for ourselves only. Let us, if we haven't been doing it, let us look at the style Jesus exhibited too. Early in the morning, late at night, the bottom line is to avoid distractions. And when you pray, remember all the many people around you that you can pray for. We all have challenges. As many people that you know that have challenges in the congregation or anywhere in your office, wherever, remember them in prayers. There are times you might be praying and just somebody comes to your mind. Don't just think that the thought came just like by chance. Maybe God wants you to pray for that person. So let's not be selfish with our prayers. Let's pray like Jesus did. Pray for everyone. And one thing again, in this prayer that Jesus was doing, he kept praying for unity. All may be one. All may be one. All may be one. That oneness is very critical. Let's always remember to pray for oneness. Unity in our homes, unity in the church, unity in your office, unity in the country. You know, it adds value. There's power in unity. There's success in unity. So let's always remember to pray also for the nation. Also, pray for your enemies. Pray for those who hate you. Number 3, my last key point. Let us love like Jesus. Love like Jesus. Luke 6, 27 to 36 says, but I say to you who hear, you who hear, you who are hearing, I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend. open for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you'll be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. But really, 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 is it that easy? Yes, it is nice. It's easy to be nice to people who are nice to you. Easy. It is also natural to pay evil for evil. It's natural. Only Adiedami Logun. My following here. It's just a natural thing. Best. You can ignore the person. If you don't do evil, you can ignore the person, right? You can ignore. Go your way, I go my way. But Jesus said, we are to love and to do good to those who hate us. Not for you to ignore. Not for you to, but to do something, to do good to those who hate us. If you think about this race, it is not an easy race to run. That is why Paul advised us to run it with endurance. We should bear. We should tolerate. You should bear an uncomfortable circumstance for some time because you believe that the end will be well. So you bear. Ephemera. As you receive some uncomfortable instructions as to righteousness, for instance, instruction to do good to your haters, it's an instruction unto righteousness, but it's uncomfortable. But you obey, bearing the hurt. No, okay, I'm going to do it. I have to do it. No, you bear it. You bear it. And there's a reward for you from the Lord. Verse 35 says, lend, open for nothing in return. Verse 36 says, be merciful, be merciful. I used to have a very hardworking young lady in my office, very hardworking, and very wise, but just 20 years old. Sometime back, when Yemi Black wrote her book, I got two copies and I gave some of my ladies in the office to read. And this one read it and said, MD, me too, I'm going to write a book. And told me a lot of things about her history, life and all that. She told me, one, she has done jam 4 times. And then in her youth, because of hardship at home and all that, lost her father, this and that and that, that she actually, at a particular time, she was working, supplying water to, at a construction site, you know, I think it's Pong Pong now, to supply water. Young lady, small in stature even. And I kept wondering, how can this, but it's like a desperate thing. So she told me all the, and many other things. And of course, I had compassion on her. And like I said, very, very wise, very intelligent and hardworking. Finally, she got university admission. And the practice in our business, like if you want to resign, if you give a month's notice ahead of time, and you've worked for a while, I would have accumulated some money for you every month as a bonus, and I give to you when you're leaving. So I gave her, and I gave her much more than what was due her. And she went to the university and all that. Then that was like early January or so. Now, what happened? After she got there, within like a week or so, she called. SMD, I'm having problems in registering. You know, registering for clients and all that. And the money from my brother is not forthcoming. Please, can I borrow good sum of money for registration now? I mean, that's a lot of money. No problems. That I'll pay you. I mean, I'll pay you once my brother pays me and all that. Anyway, that went on. Up to today, the brother has, I haven't seen the money. Her mother called me during the few months back and said, "Ah, Aga, sorry, thank you very much for helping my daughter, this, that we'll pay, it, please, just be here. Maybe July or something of that nature, we'll start." Anyway, last week, and I sent a message to the young lady, "July today." And I felt bad doing it too, you know, but so I sent it. And she replied, "Sir, I will call my mother and let you know what she says and all that." That was last week. But my concern was like, has she been in genuine need? Does she have this genuine issue? Or be of a bad UMD? Those were my concerns after last week. But as I started preparing this message and as I got into this Luke 6 about doing good, this and that, and forgive, merciful. And I just asked myself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want me to do? And without thinking twice, I remember the story of the unforgiving servant. You know, he owed his boss, the king. The king forgave him. Meanwhile, his own colleague owed him. He like took him to jail. I said, God has been merciful to me. So in my heart, I forgive the debt. But the thing is, though, I haven't told her. So you pray for me that I will still tell her. Now, my last emphasis as I close is that Jesus told us that loving your neighbor as yourself is like loving God with all your heart and soul and mind. Loving your neighbor as yourself is like it. And Jesus illustrated this love in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man gave attention to a person in danger. The man had compassion for the person in need. The man also sacrificed his resources, his convenience. He sacrificed his convenience to help a brother in need. This is the kind of love Jesus expects us to show. 1 John 3:16 to 18 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So as we look unto Jesus, let us appreciate the love he showed us by laying down his life for us. Jesus said that greater love has no man than to lay his life for his brothers. This is the sacrificial love, the ultimate. And I pray that the Lord will help us to love as he loves us.